Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. It is hump day, right? Hump day Wednesday? I have no idea. We have so much going on around here. And there is a ton. I know I say this every single day, but for episode 162, absolute ton. Another one-run thriller.
Because this is thriller.
That's how I'm starting. One-run thriller, as you see on the board there, for the Giants 6-5. Unlikely to get all those runs in the ninth inning, but it is Colorado, after all, so we'll get into it, and a ton to get to. As I said, we will do roll call momentarily. We'll go through the chalkboard. I have so much good stuff for you from Kyle Shanahan, Trent Williams, Miles Garrett, Aaron Rodgers, Willie Adames. I got a good caboose for you. I didn't put a caboose. It's a short one, but it's good. Bad news on Matt Chapman. So we got a ton of different stuff to get into today. But before we get to anything, you know how it works around here. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. Please make sure you're subscribed to John Lund Unleashed. That is the show you're watching right now on YouTube, whether you're watching it live, whether you're watching it a little bit later, whether you're listening on the podcast, which we drop right after every live show on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So make sure you're subscribed to one of those channels too. But please subscribe to John Lund Unleashed. Hit us with a like so that the algorithm likes us and recommends more for our community. And also make sure those alerts on, because we always kick out stuff after the show, four or five pieces of content after every show as well. We're here Monday through Friday. We start at 9 a.m. now. By the way, I want to apologize, because my goal now that we've moved this thing to 9 a.m. is to be here right at 9 a.m., not 9:05, 9:17, 9:20, none of those things. Had a couple of things this morning. That's a bad excuse. That's not an explanation. That's an excuse. So I apologize for that, because you know, hanging out going, let's go, man. We will make sure that we are live at 9 o'clock and we are not a minute late. So I'll make sure that that happens. And I apologize for today. Also make sure you're subscribed on the Bay Area Sports Collective, that big B that you see in the left-hand corner. That means my show, John Lund Unleashed, Tom Tolbert, the Tom Tolbert Show. And he had a great conversation with Matt Maiocco in the backyard the other day. So make sure you hit that up, the Bay Area Sports Collective. That also means a quality hang with Rod Brooks. It means, because today's Wednesday, it's a night flight tonight for Polymac and Creative Tony on Polymac's Particles. A lot of guys from formerly of KNBR hanging around, so that is good for you. And also Amy G, who does a great podcast on women in media, which is really cool. And then former Giants pitcher Jeremy Affelt, who is awesome, honest, really good stuff. He's straightforward about everything. Plus, he's hilarious and has great stories. So make sure that you're subscribed to the Bay Area Sports Collective as well, which is that big B, and that's on YouTube as well. Thanks this morning for watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio X, where I am a lot of times. So if you want to drop comments, questions, thoughts at X at John Lund Radio, or on Facebook, my personal Facebook, John Lund or John Lund Unleashed, hit me up on either of those places. LinkedIn, good morning to those on LinkedIn as well. So good morning to everyone, and thank you, however you are watching, whatever platform you are watching on. Much appreciated. Please think about coming over to YouTube, because it's a cool community. Please, if you would subscribe, that would be outstanding. It is episode 162, and we'll talk about things and say good morning to everyone. But let me say good morning to my good friend and fine sponsor, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, right there in San Ramon. Worth the drive if you're not in the East Bay. You know what I'm talking to you about. My wife, she is doing stem cell. Dr. Riopel, one of the first doctors in California to do stem cell. Did it on Bartolo Colon, did it on my wife. She was having elbow and shoulder problems. I tell you about this freezer that we have. So we have a beer fridge like everybody does in a garage, but we also have this freezer that we put all these contraptions and wraps and everything in, and she hardly has to use those. We watch TV or hang out or whatever, and she's always got something on her shoulder or elbow, whatever. And she does not have to do, not a little bit, none of that anymore. And when we go out on vacations or whatever, we were out in Arizona a couple of weeks ago. She was walking. We were cruising around Old Town Scottsdale. She turns to me every time she does that and goes, because of Dr. Riopel, I don't have to complain. I don't have to stop. Stem cell really does work. And my wife is a perfect example of it. So click on that QR code. All that does is get you to the website. And then you can make an appointment, or you can see all the other procedures that Dr. Riopel does. It's not just about stem cell. I do the low T, which I've been doing for years, but about 18 months ago, I switched over to Dr. Riopel because I don't have to do a daily shot. It's a quick blood test every 4 months. Okay, this is how low you are. They get me up to that level. I feel great. My metabolism is fast. My mood is better. It's just the old way that you used to be. So that does work as well. And like I said, I just swear by the procedure, but he's even taking it to another level. So Riopelle is R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. If you didn't hit the QR code, just go to Google or your favorite search engine and check him out. He's in San Ramon, and that's not just the two procedures they do, men, women. There's all sorts of great procedures he does to make you feel and look better. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, so check it out. And please tell him that I sent you over and he will treat you extra well, which he does anyway. All right, episode 162, the Giants in the ninth inning. Obviously, we didn't expect that, but in Colorado, anything can happen. So we'll go over that. Another one-run win for the Giants. Can Adames get it going? He had a home run. He did have a walk in that ninth inning as well, and you'll hear from him post-game. The bad news is Matt Chapman is down, but I'm going to tell you why that's not all bad news. I know that sounds weird. Jim Bowden is starting to talk about the trade deadline in The Athletic. He's got a trade. I wonder what you think of it. Kyle Shanahan spoke, I think, about the most important thing that goes on in these camps. It's not about the kicker. It's not about a rookie. It's not about a veteran. It's this one thing that Kyle Shanahan is going to talk to you about that I've got for you. And it's the most important thing that comes out of any of these camps for any team. We'll get into that. Really, kicker stats? I thought QB stats are bad. Kicker stats are worse. Aaron Rodgers is married. Who knew? NBA finals resume and random things happen throughout. And I do have a short, quick caboose pistol today as well. So that's what we've got coming up on the show. It is high quality, lots of good stuff. You're going to hear from a lot of good people today. So that is awesome. By the way, I'm going to say roll call in just a moment. But remember, if you want your questions, comments, thoughts up on the board, 100% guaranteed. Hit me with a super, support the show. That would be greatly appreciated. By the way, I want to give you a quick update. If you watched the show yesterday or a regular viewer or listener on the podcast of the show, George did make it. Absolutely crazy. So he's going to the Cape Cod League to write future major leaguers and stuff. He's a huge baseball guy, so he's all stoked. So two nights ago, drop him off at SFO, 10 o'clock flight, no problem to Boston. Gets in there at 6:30, supposed to take a little puddle jumper to Cape Cod. And the weather's terrible in Boston, so it's a two-hour delay. So I didn't get any sleep on the plane. I can't sleep on a plane either on a red-eye. I wish I could. But anyway, it was supposed to leave. He got in there at 6:30, was supposed to leave at like 8:30. Did not do it. So then I think it was like 11 o'clock. They fly all the way there. It's only a 40-minute flight. They fly all the way there. The airport is so small, they didn't have a place for them to land, so they had to go to a secondary small airport, which was an hour and a half away from the Cape, which is actually further than he was in Boston. He could have just taken an Uber from there, the 70 miles. But anyway, they get them Ubers for free because they felt bad that they couldn't get the airplane there. But then there was too many people in the Uber. It was a big van or something. And George just got frustrated and said, to heck with it. I told him, just go get one. I'll pay for the Uber. So we end up paying for the Uber and he gets there at like, I don't know, like 5 p.m. So he went from 10, so what's that, 10, like 2 p.m. So it was like, I don't know, whatever amount of hours, 24 hours to get to Boston or whatever, but he's finally settled in. But I wanted to say thank you for those who contributed because people at the end of the show yesterday contributed for the Uber and much appreciated because he was going to get a freebie from the airline and then finally he was frustrated. And I just go, just get one. I'll do it on my end. Just let's just get it done. Let's get you there. So he is there. He has an event this morning, a meet the team event. So I haven't talked to him this morning, but it is rolling. But thank you for those supers to get him to Cape Cod. A crazy first day, but he is there. So thank you for that. Much, much appreciated. All right, the Nutter is here this morning. Good morning, Vernon. It's good to see you, man. I don't know if I've seen you in a while. Dom, you're the best, man. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, like I said, Mark is free, by the way. That is, back me up on that he's here. But like I said, I do a lot of this stuff. I probably do 80% of the stuff. But when it comes to how somebody can't get on the board, like that happened before to Rock and New Era. I don't know what happens with that kind of stuff. I don't block anybody. So, I think the community takes care of itself. In other words, if someone comes in here and they're unruly or not right or don't fit, the community takes care of it. So I haven't done anything like that. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but we think we got it fixed. Jake is here this morning. Good morning to you, John Joseph. Good morning, Hurley Bird. Hello. There it is. There you go. There it is. There's Mark right there. See, we got it fixed. Somebody fixed it. It was a high priority. I don't know what was going on. Hey, Scott, good to see you, man. Yeah, the remodel, as you can see behind me, is still in progress. You know how things work around here. I'm sorry to go random because we have a lot of things to get to today. But if you didn't know, I had a great background and everything. And now it's like I'm in a crazy bin, a loony bin, and it's just all white behind me. And we're working on things. That's all I can say is that we're working on things. But when you're – and this is a very nice studio that I'm in. But when you're part of the studio versus other things that have priority around the house, you know how things work. And I'm not complaining about it. It's just how it goes. So we will try to get out of the loony bin here shortly. But we are in the exact same studio. We just we're changing some things around. So anyway, thank you for asking. No, I appreciate it. 49ers re-entering our lives. I got a lot of 49ers for you today, but we got to lead with the Giants because that was crazy last night. So we'll do that. Good morning, Kenny Smith. It is very nice to see you this morning. Very nice. Yes, nothing like it. Yeah, look, they're within a gate. Here's the thing. I'm going to show you the standings before we get to anything else. I may have erred. I know that's incredibly tough to believe. But I may have erred in giving the division to the Dodgers because they've got a lot of pitching injuries. And I don't know if Otani is going to come back at some point, whatever the case may be. But maybe hey, Sherman Boy, good morning to you. Joy is here, which, yeah, I always say this. It's not a show without Joy. It's not a show without Cantalina. It's not a show without Mary. The ladies keep the guys in order here. Nathan, it's good to see you this morning, my friend. So if I did not get to you this morning, I apologize. JJ Raider is here this morning. We will get to everybody. But good morning. Good morning. If you're wondering what I'm talking about. We've got a great board. Smiley Dan, it is nice to see you this morning, my friend. We have this great community of people on YouTube. That's who I'm talking to this morning. If you'd like to be part of the community and get a shout out, come on over and subscribe and say good morning to everybody. They won't bite unless you want them to, and then they probably still won't. All right, here we go. Before we get into a bunch of stuff today, Giants related. Look at that right there. We are, let's see, 30, 28, I'm going to carry the two. We're like 67 games into the season. Am I right? So look, there are 95 to go. God, my math. I was told there wasn't any math on this show. 95 games to go. So look, there's a lot of stuff going on, but let's celebrate while we can, shall we? Because during a 162 game season, God knows, especially me, when they kind of go sideways, I'm like, what is going on with this team? So they've won six in a row. And they're winning a bunch of one-run games in a row. They're setting records for one-run games, one-run wins, all these kind of things. And all of a sudden, you look up, and I don't care what the 40 versus 39 says. We always talk about this. It's the losses that matter. So you can't give losses back. You can get more wins. So Dodgers, Giants, Padres, in my mind, they all got 28. That's all I look at. How many losses do you got? The Dodgers are 4-6 in their last 10. Are the Dodgers going to go through some ungodly run? Yeah, but for right now, as we sit right now with 95 games remaining in the season, which is the majority of the season and a lot of the season, but some has been played, enough to form an opinion. Let's say that, all right? So as you look at that board with the Padres, the Giants, and the Dodgers all with the same amount of losses at 28, I'm not saying the Giants are the favorite in the division, but what I'm saying is until further notice, all right, and you and I can decide on when that notice will be. But until further notice, with the Giants having won six in a row and becoming one-run wizards, the Giants are in the race. I'm not automatically going to say they're a wild card team because as talented as the Dodgers are offensively, Ohtani and Will Smith and Will Betts and blah, 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 you know the names. From a pitching standpoint, you know, the Blake Snell's not there. Ohtani's not pitching. Shocking that Glasnow is hurt. So they don't have the starting pitching that maybe they're going to have or maybe they won't have. And I told you this at the beginning of the season. Everybody anointed their pitching staff. I'm not talking about the hitting, and I'm not saying the Giants are going to win the division. But I'm saying as we sit here, and I do a show 6 days a week. So what I have to do is I can't project 3 months out. People will say, well, we'll just wait and see. We'll just wait and see how the division goes. Well, I can't do that because I'm on every day. So as we sit here right now, and I said this before the season, I said, okay, everybody's saying that this pitching staff is awesome along with the hitting. Blake Snell was hurt with the Giants last year. Yamamoto threw 90 pitches. Ohtani didn't pitch at all. Glasnow is always hurt. Like I went through this numerous times before the season, And look, the Dodgers will probably trade for pitching. Remember, they got Jack Flaherty last year. They didn't have great starting pitching last year, and they won the World Series. So it's not like they can't do this, but being in the present moment, the Giants have as good a pitching as what the Dodgers have hitting. Does that make sense? I know that's going to scramble everybody's brain, especially this early in the morning. The Dodgers pitching, or excuse me, the Giants pitching is as good as what the Dodgers hitting is. Does that make sense? So in other words, the superpower of the Dodgers is hitting. The pitching is the Giants' superpower is pitching. The hitting is right. So what are they going to do? Well, I know this, and this is where if you want to, I'm not getting angry. They've won six in a row. I'm feeling good. It's a great day. Let's not be negative when it comes to the Giants, even with Chapman's injury, which I'm going to put a little bit of a silver lining on in a minute. But what I'm saying is that I know that the Dodgers are going to get starting pitching at the deadline, and so do you. Now, I don't know how deep they're going to go because kind of like last year, they're going, okay, Yamamoto is healthy, and they've got guys who are going to pitch at some point, and Blake Snell for them, hopefully he gets healthy. I hope he doesn't. And not wishing for injury, it's just, wow, what a shocker, he's hurt. Wow, Tyler Glasnow, what a shocker, he's hurt. They're going to go out, and they're going to get starting pitching, and they're probably going to be pretty aggressive about it. So my question back to the Giants, and I tell you this too, it's not about Buster Posey. You don't think Buster Posey is going to walk into that fancy room with the big mahogany table that I envision and say, can I get some money? Can I get some, can I make a trade here? And I have a trade at the middle of the chalkboard there. Let me pull this back a little bit. I've got a trade at the middle of the chalkboard. It says a trade. It's because Jim Bowden in The Athletic came out with a couple of names that I want to talk about. But it comes down to, if this is close, the Dodgers will get an impact starting pitcher. Will the Giants in turn, and it's not how we think of it as fans, well, geez, the Dodgers made a move, we got to make a move. It's totally separate of that. Teams don't look at that. Oh, we got to stay up with the Joneses. You're not going to win that battle with the Dodgers. It's your fight. It's your struggle. It's what you have to do. So while the Dodgers pitching, while the Dodgers hitting is their super strength and the Giants pitching is their super strength, I know the Dodgers are going to go get an impact pitcher. Will the Giants get an impact bat? Or in my case, I think they need two. I think they need a first baseman impact guy. I think they need a right fielder impact guy that makes Mike Yastrzemski, who had the game-winning hit last night, and that's great. But he's a fourth outfielder for a good team like the Giants expect to be with the remaining 95 games in the season. I'm simply saying that if you want to not say, and this is how teams think, they're not giving the division away to the Dodgers. I have. Not right now, but I've said that. Oh, they're in the wild card chase. We've talked about it a million times. The Dodgers win the division. But I think if I'm Buster Posey today and I'm talking to those front office people and I'm starting to say, look, we're within 6 weeks of this trade deadline. Today's the 11th. So we're within 6 weeks of this thing, guys. We got to start getting serious. We're scouting for it. We're looking for it. Kyle Harrison was just okay last night. Maybe he's part of a trade package because you have excess pitching. All these different things. I think he's on the border of still being a prospect where teams would like him and going to the other side where it's like, oh, I just guess he's going to be okay. So I think it would be a time to trade Kyle Harrison as a headliner, maybe in a deal for a stick or two. So that's what I'd be looking at. And if I'm Buster Posey, I would tell those people in the front office who control the purse strings, guys, we're not just going for a wild card here. We won this division in 21, and that's a long time ago, but it proves that the Giants are that the Dodgers are not infallible. We can compete with them because we have the pitching they don't. They have the hitting we don't. And if we could get a couple of impact bats here at first base and right field, and I don't think that the price is going to be all that unreasonable, then we can compete. And I'd rather just compete with the Dodgers and the Padres for the division than I would maybe all these other teams for a wild card. It's going to be tough because the Phillies are getting a wild card and probably the Padres are getting a wild card. Now, injuries can happen. And Matt Chapman is going to be significant, but I'm not going to, at this point, with 95 games in the season, I am not giving the Dodgers a division. That's the decision that I've made today. Now, it could change. They've won six in a row. The Dodgers could spin off a bunch in a row. The Chapman thing could really hurt. These one-run games could flip the other way. A lot of things could happen, but we are sitting here on June 11th, 2025, and if I'm Buster Posey, I want a meeting with the higher-ups to say, guys, we're not just doing a wild card here. We can beat and compete with the Dodgers. Yeah, I said it out loud. They can beat and compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's just what it is. That's what's going on here. Enough games have been played where you can say that statement and not be laughed out of the room. Now, maybe you are laughing me out of the room. I haven't looked yet. But that's what I would do if I was Buster. I'd say, look, man, we're a couple of bats, and we're not talking about, you know, the bats being Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper. Those aren't the two bats. We need a couple of solid bats. And I got a couple of names for you, and we'll get into that. And I used these names the other day, but we'll get into that. But give me your thoughts on that, because that's what I'm doing if I'm the Giants. Again, Giants ninth inning. Let's take a look at that real quick. In fact, I was going to lead with that, but I got into this whole tangent about them being competitors for the division, not just for the wild card. So here's what happened last night. This was just pure craziness. So what's happening is YouTube has been knocking me for using those highlights. So I'm just going to have to go through it like this, and I apologize, but I do have some post-game sound. So Casey Schmidt, and this is – I'm going to talk about this in regards to Matt Chapman, so I might as well start now because Casey Schmidt homered to left to start the ninth inning. Casey Schmidt, and I tell you this all the time, about guys needing a runway, Jonathan Kuminga is always looking over to Steve Kerr if he makes a mistake, right? Young players do that. He's going to pull me because I made a mistake. The Giants sit down with Casey Schmidt and say, we don't know how long it's going to be for Chapman. Maybe it's going to be a couple of weeks, but you got the job for a couple of weeks. We're not going to screw around. We're not going to bring somebody else up. We're not going to, you know, nothing like that. You're our third baseman for 2 weeks. Don't look over your shoulder. I don't care if you strike out five times. You're playing third base. That's what Casey Schmidt needs. And I'm not saying that's the reason he homered last night in the ninth inning, but it's his job and he knows it. And he knows if he goes 0-for-5, he's the third baseman. If he goes 1-for-4, he's the first baseman. If he goes 3-for-4, he's the third baseman. That's what he's going to be. And for some guys, I've talked to many athletes through the years, some like competition behind them. They like being pushed. Some guys just like to relax their mind. And so Casey Schmidt, if I'm the organization, maybe this is what they said to him, this is your job for now. Don't look over your shoulder. We're going to see what you can do. Because Casey Schmidt's never had a runway. Now, he's never proven that he could do it. But he's got a runway now, and he should be able to clear his mind. And hopefully, if we're going to put some silver lining on Matt Chapman's injury, which there really isn't one, but I'm going to try, that is that Casey Schmidt may get some time. And if he can prove something here, maybe at least then he can move across the diamond, be the first baseman. Dom Smith hasn't been terrible, but maybe he's an option there. Something, all right? Maybe he's something, because you look at him and you're thinking to yourself, he's got power. He's a great athlete. He's really good defensively. If he could hit, he could be a player. I mean, I know you could say that about a lot of players, but he's proven in the minors that he can hit. And then he comes up here, and maybe he's a 4A guy. I don't know. He reminds me of Luis Matos in that way. But he's getting a little bit of runway here, so that might be the silver lining as far as Chapman is concerned. But Schmidt homers to left. Then Fitzgerald walks. A backup catcher that probably is not going to be here long walks. This is what Colorado starts to do. Then Lee, this almost changed the whole thing. Lee grounds down to a fielder's choice. Ryan McMahon steps on the bag, throws across the first, does not get Lee because of his speed. So they could have had two outs at that point if he could have gotten Lee. Did not. Then a wild pitch puts him at second and third. Adames loads the bases. Ramos just missed it. Just barely missed it. Right off the bat, you thought maybe as the ball carries in Colorado, but it doesn't. So they score another run there to get to 5-4. Then the play of the game was Flores. Basically, he looked like Jake, the catcher. What was that dang movie? Was it Bull Durham? In which he points to center field and he bunts, but it was a swinging bunt. And you're sitting there going, oh my God, it's Flores. He can't run. You know, he's like in slow motion. Gong, 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 gong. It took forever for him to get to first base, but he gets there. They tie it at 5. Yaz, give it up to Yaz. Singles to right. Adames scores. And then they close it out in the ninth inning. Not that it was easy, but you can see right there that that they get it done in the ninth inning. Well done by Camilo Duvall. Need a little Alka-Seltzer in my Jack Daniels, but they win 6-5. So there you go. So another one-run win by the exciting Gigantes as they beat Colorado last night. Here is Willie Adames, and then we'll talk about Willie. Here is Willie Adames in the post game with a home run and a key walk in the ninth inning, and he scored the game-winning run.
It feels like we always have an opportunity to come back. It's like that's how the guys feel in the dugout. It's like, okay, we can be down by 3-4. It doesn't matter. We're going to go out there until the last out and grind every at bat. And I think today was a very good example of, you know, how good this team is. You know, everybody went out there at the top of the night and battled, you know, took great at bats, took great swing, just took, you know, do the fundamental stuff. And you know, we paid off. We got the win. And for me, you know, I obviously – it's a good day, you know, for me personally, but it's even better when you get a win like that. I think that's going to get us going.
All right, so there's Willy Adames. And look, they gave him 2 days off. They go to Colorado. This is pretty smart, to be honest with you, whoever's idea this was. And this is all I was talking about when it was coming to Lamont Wade Jr. is do something. You know, don't let a guy just continue to bang his head against the wall. I know that you want Willy Adames in the lineup, but – and I wasn't suggesting that he goes down to like Arizona or, you know, somewhere like that and get a different set of eyes on his swing, which I thought Lamont Wade Jr. should have done. With him, you got to keep him. But they gave him 48 hours off. They said, dude, just go out and chill. And it helps that it's in Colorado. Hey, let's give Willy Adames 2 days off. Then it's in Colorado and a better place to hit, obviously. And let's see what he can do. Now, I don't know what this is going to mean. It's one game. Kishi Schmidt homered last night. Do I think that he's all set and ready to go? No, I don't. Willy Adames hits a home run, scores the game-winning run, works a walk in the ninth inning. Great. I hope that it gets him going. That would be great if you could get him going, because if we're being 100% honest about the offense, we're going to get into a trade talk in just a second. I think they need two bats. But reality of the Giants' offense is the key to the entire offense, and I hate to put this on his shoulders, and it's really not as simple as this, but it's Willy Adames. They traded for a guy who hit 32 home runs, knocked in 112 last year, a true middle-of-the-bat guy, a guy that they were like, oh, my God, finally somebody signed with us that isn't, you know, Aaron Rowan-esque. It's actually somebody who we wanted, big-time bat, one of the best players at his position in the game, one of the best offensive players at the position in the game. And, yeah, that was a career year for him. And Milwaukee's a lot easier to hit the ball out of the ballpark. But I told you this the other day. Harold Reynolds did this whole breakdown, and he had like this fence of where the Milwaukee fence was versus the San Francisco fence, and did this whole diatribe for about 5 minutes on why Willy Adames can't hit at Oracle Park. Problem is, Harold, is, yeah, he's not hitting well at Oracle Park. He was hitting worse on the road. His OPS, I didn't check it this morning, but before yesterday, was 100 points lower on the road than it was at home. 100 points lower on the road. I had to say it twice. I'm sorry. But so it's not just an Oracle Park thing. He's just not hitting well. Now, it was a career year. So I didn't expect 32 home runs and 112 RBIs from Willy Adames, but he started the year hitting number two in the order, which in today's batting order in Major League Baseball is your best hitter. That's what I expect. He is the best hitter on the Giants. I don't think he's going to hit 32 home runs. Could he hit 22, 23, 24, you know, low to mid-20s? Yeah. Knocking 80 or 90 runs completely. You know, hit 250? Yeah. I mean, I don't expect the offensive year of last year. But I expect him to be the Giants' best hitter. I know that's a lot, but I expect him to be the Giants' best offensive player. And I expect him to be clutch, and I expect him to hit well, at least on the road. And I know he's pressing. I mean, you could even tell in that that couple of minute, or I don't know, 90-second clip that I just played for you, that he kind of just did an exhale, like, oh, man. Just stop putting pressure on yourself, man. It's just baseball. You're not splitting atoms. It's not politics. It's not, you know, it's not world hunger. It's not any of these kind of things. It's just baseball. And I know it's easy for me to say, but some guys, they'll take that money and they want to live up to it so badly. And that's an admirable trait for Willy Adames. Some guys just don't care. Man, I got my $100, $200, $300, $500 million. I don't care. I've made it. It's going to be about me and what I'm going to buy, and I'm going to treat my family and my friends and do all this kind of stuff. I got the money. I deserve the money. I don't care what happens from there. Willy Adames is struggling as far as I'm concerned because he just cares too much. Like, I just want to live up to that money so bad. Don't worry about it, man. You've been playing baseball your whole life. Just play baseball. It really isn't life and death. Just relax. Now, you could tell him that, and I'm sure he's talked to a sports psychologist and all these different things, but the fact that he's struggling on the road worse than he is at home tells me everything. He's just trying to hit a 5-run home run every time he comes to the plate. So just, if I'm the Giants, dude, I don't care, man. Just relax. Just play, and we'll see what happens. But for the Giants to go where they want to go, And I'll get to a trade in a minute. But for the Giants to go where they want to go, he's got to be back in the two-hole, and he's got to be the Giants' best hitter. Because potentially, who else is there? I mean, Ramos could potentially be that. Lee could potentially be that. But really, Willy Adames was signed to be the anchor of the lineup, and that's what he needs to be. So whether he hits 32 home runs or 20, whether he knocks in 112 like he did last year or 80, he just needs to be that guy. And I've told you this time and time and time again. I don't care really how many he gets. I care when he gets them. Like last night, I was hoping he hit one out, another one out, because maybe that changes the mentality. I mean, it was nice that he hit one earlier, but to hit one in the slot that he would have, and he ended up scoring the game-winning run, and everything's fine, and they win 6-5. But I was like, okay, a walk's fine. But, man, a knock right here would just be massive for his confidence. And I think he's just pressing so hard. And you could just tell it in that post-game presser. So another one-run win. Can Adames get going? Chapman down. We went over that. You just tell Casey Schmidt, it's your job, bro. Like, it's your job. And it's not your job for now. It's your job for a couple of weeks. And just don't look over your shoulder. And just play ball. And let's see what you can do. Now, the trade thing is interesting. Let me share my screen with you, my friends. Let's see. Did I do this? No, I didn't. Okay, there were two. There was one name that Jim Bowden did a thing in The Athletic. And he talked about a couple of different names. Now, we've brought these names up. But I'm getting a little nervous. The name he brought up for the Giants to make a trade for is Ryan O'Hearn. Now, there's a couple of things. One thing is good and one thing is bad, all right? So you look at Ryan O'Hearn for this season, 311 batting average, 9 home runs, 24 RBIs, and an OPS of 887, all right? He's a first baseman. Left-handed first baseman, 6'2", 220, age 31. Nice player, right? Having a great year. All right, let's dig into this thing a little bit deeper. Here's what makes me a little bit nervous. Okay, this is this year. Awesome, right? 193 at bats, 924, and again, 887 OPS. Okay, last year in Baltimore, OPS 761. That's just above league average. 15 homers, 49. It's okay. Not great. 2023, same thing. 14 home runs, 60 RBIs. Nice OPS, 801. He's a solid player that's probably playing above his head right now. All right. So there's two things to look at. I'm not going to exactly call him a journeyman. He was in Kansas City for, 4 years in Kansas City. And you can see his totals in Kansas City right there. 219 batting average with a 683 OPS. Those were his 4 years or 5 years in Kansas City. Not great. He's been better in Baltimore. Again, 801, 761. Now he's exploded for an 887 OPS. So he's solid, but he's 31 years old. So whether you want to call him a journeyman or something, he's just kind of a solid guy. For Baltimore, wasn't very good in Kansas City. So there's two ways to look at that. Number one, it makes me nervous because he's having a breakout year this year. Is he going to come over to the Giants and be the guy he was last year? Was just okay, you know, at first base. And maybe they just need okay at first base because Lamont was so bad. We'll see what Dominic Smith can do. I almost feel like Dominic Smith can do what Ryan O'Hearn did last year. Maybe he can't. Maybe that's too much to ask. 761 OPS, 15 home runs. Maybe that's too much. But that was okay. But he's 31 years old. So the one side of me says, and this would appeal to the Giants, A, he's not making a lot of money. That appeals to the Giants because they think they're small market, but they're not. And number two, you don't probably have to give up a whole lot for Ryan O'Hearn. Baltimore is having an atrocious year. They thought they were going to be much, much better. They should be much, much better. And so they're probably looking for, I don't know, like you don't have to, my point is you don't have to trade Kyle Harrison for Ryan O'Hearn. Now, would you have to trade one of your mid-level pitching prospects and maybe a flyer from a bat in like A-ball? Probably. I mean, it would probably be like an A-ball guy that has some upside and like one of your mid-level pitchers that's getting close to being ready. That's probably what Ryan O'Hearn costs you, all right? But there's no guarantee that he's going to be the guy that he's been in Baltimore. He's having a career year, and we all know how career years work. It makes you nervous. So it doesn't mean that he's going to come over here and hit like that. It's a new league. So Ryan O'Hearn, I get it, makes a lot of sense. The Giants would certainly have interest in him because I don't think he would cost a lot. It's certainly an upgrade. He's a left-handed hitter, so you like to balance your lineup a little bit. So Ryan O'Hearn, does that do anything for you? It's okay. I don't hate it, but there's that. And then I wouldn't be done at that point because Ryan O'Hearn is not going to cost you, again, top guys in your organization. Very similar kind of a player right here. Ryan Stowers is a guy that's in Miami and same kind of a thing. He's an outfielder. He's playing left, but what I would do is I'd put him in left and I'd move Ramos over to right And again, it's a lightning in a bottle kind of a situation. So look at this in 2024 in Miami. Guy hits 186 with a 556 OPS. In Baltimore, you look at the – he went from Baltimore to Miami. So that whole year in 2024, a year ago, 3 home runs, 24 RBIs, 208 batting average with a 601 OPS. That was 2024, last year. So journeyman type of a guy, Baltimore, Miami, 27 years old, but he's having an amazing year this year. 215 at-bats, as you can see, 10 home runs, 33 RBIs, hitting 274 with an 811 OPS. Not going to give up a whole lot for him. Not a great defensive guy. Looked up some defensive metrics. So in, you know, left field at Oracle Park, it's the easiest field to play, and then you move Ramos over to right field. Yastrzemski becomes a fourth outfielder. You know, I don't know. Can you get both these guys, O'Hearn and so, and definitely Stowers, are kind of lightning in a bottle guys. I mean, career wise, the guy has a 687 OPS. It's not great with 16 home runs over 528 at bats, which is not horrible power. So he's got a little bit of pop to his bat. So those are two names that are out there as far as the Giants, and they fit the Giants in that they're probably not going to go out and, you know, like I said, I think it would be great to go out and get a guy like Rhys Hoskins, proven guy, Northern California guy. We'll see how long Milwaukee stays in the race. That's going to probably take a while to get a guy like that. But O'Hearn and Stowers, those are guys where you're like, eh, because basically they're the same guy. They're having career years, and you're betting that they can continue to do what they're doing. Now, in Stowers' case, he's already in the National League, so there's not a lot of big of an adjustment there. And again, the way the schedules are now, you're playing both sides of the league. But, you know, O'Hearn, does that get me excited? Like at the beginning of the season, if you told me that the Giants at the deadline were gonna take on a guy named O'Hearn and Stowers, I'd be like, well, they're probably out of it. And they're probably trading guys, and they're just taking these guys back as, you know, whatevers. But they're both kind of journeyman guys. They're having career years. And your fingers are crossed that you make those two trades, and those guys can be better than what you've seen. Now, look, Mike Yastrzemski, because of the start that he had, has pretty good numbers. He's kind of went like this lately. Then he had a nice, you know, he gets the game winner last night. I like Mike Yastrzemski in those big kind of situations. He's been able to step up. But it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt to have a couple of those guys. And really, some of it has to be the organizational depth, which we talk about. Like, there's just no organizational depth. The fact that they had to bring Dom Smith on, the fact that in the outfield, you know, yeah, would you like to, and I'm sure there's people out there, and I haven't checked the board yet, but it's like, well, what if you could have some run at, you know, a couple of the guys that are in the minors right now that you normally look at? Yeah, I get those kind of things. Matos being one. You know, does he deserve a little bit more of a long run? Yeah, but I think it would take an injury in the outfield. So those are the names. O'Hearn was the one that Jim Bowden came up with. Stowers is another one that's been thrown around. But it's two guys having career years, and you got your fingers crossed on that. Could they be like, you know, we're going back all the way to 2010, and, you know, like when Cody Ross was taken off the trash heap, did anyone think he was really anything? Not really. These are the same kind of players where it's like if you catch lightning in a bottle for a couple of months, you know, maybe it makes a difference in your lineup. If not, these guys are not really proven players, especially Stowers isn't. I mean, O'Hearn, I think, is going to give you a little bit more than what you've had at the position. He's probably better than Dom Smith. He's not a guy that, you know, his contract's up at the end of the year, so it's not like you're making a long-term commitment to that. But if I'm the Giants, even though those names aren't horrible names, they're having really good years, I'm still holding out for a guy like Rhys Hoskins. Now, Rhys Hoskins is probably going to cost you Kyle Harrison. Probably. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is a guy that if Milwaukee falls out of it, and right now they're not, but if Milwaukee were to fall out of it here in the next month and say, okay, Rhys Hoskins is available, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want Rhys Hoskins. He's a veteran guy. He's won. He's a good clubhouse guy, and he's legit. Like his last time I checked, his OPS is over 800. He's a solid player. A lot of teams would like to add him that need offense. So he's not going to be a guy that's going to be like really easy for you to go get. That's a great name right there too. Duran is a guy that, by the way, Sunday Night Baseball, Red Sox and Yankees, and they mic'd him up, and he's actually a really cool guy. He's really solid. Jacob, that's a great point. My only concern on him is you hear his name with a ton of different teams, and that means bidding war. And I like the guy. He's a really solid player, but, you know, and he's kind of a glue kind of a guy. I really like him. Gets on base, can make things happen, but I don't want to get into a bidding war for him. I don't want to get into a bidding war for a solid player that, because a lot of teams are after him, that I have to then overpay for. I'm not going to do that. But he's nice, and that's a good name. That's a really good name. So there you go. That's as far as the trade goes. What do you think? Like and subscribe, please. Papa J, you are the man, both to John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. I was going to look up Lamont before the show. Hi, Joji. Still hasn't played, and I wouldn't imagine I would be trying to get him into the lineup all that quickly. Hi, Tim. It's good to see you. Whenever trades are brought up, I always mention the White Sox, Fernando Tatis, the Padres for Jake Shields. Got to be careful. No doubt. And there was a piece a couple of days ago. Look, Buster is very aware of the Zach Wheeler types. And I was never upset about Zach Wheeler. And it took Zach Wheeler a number of years to get healthy and then pitch the way that he's pitched. It really took to later in his Mets career. And now, of course, he's great with the Phillies. I get it, man. You don't want to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. for, you know, take James Shields for Tatis. And there's all, you know, Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell, right? Bagwell was the Red Sox, goes to the Astros for Larry Anderson, a late inning reliever. I mean, you don't want to do those things. I get it. But the thing I keep saying about the Giants is this is championship caliber pitching, starting in relievers. This staff is a championship caliber staff. And you ask yourself, how often do I get this? And I've said this again and again, relievers year to year, you just don't know. They can be great. They can be not so great. The starting pitching, I think Birdsong is going to be a solid three. Roop, the way he's pitching, Verlander at some point, I think is going to be at least a back end of the rotation, solid piece. I'm not going to say he's going to be a 1-2 or a 3, the way Ray's pitching, the way Webb always pitches. I think this is a championship caliber pitching staff. And so if you're Buster Posey, what do you do when you have this opportunity to possibly add offense? And I said this earlier, if you just jumped in, we have 95 games left in the season. That is the majority of the season. Is it likely that the Dodgers win this division? Yeah. But as we sit right now, and like I said, if I'm Buster Posey, it's losses that matter. Padres, Giants, and Dodgers have 28 losses. I'm not going to give the division to the Dodgers. They're going to go out and they're going to get a good starting pitcher. And I don't have to keep up with the Dodgers. I have to look at my own team. But what I need is hitting. What they need is pitching. I know they're going to go get it. Can I counter with at least a couple of sticks? And the two guys that I mentioned, while they may not get you overly excited, woo-hoo-hoo, they're not going to cost you a lot either. The teams realize that these are guys having career years to this point in the season. And at any point, they can go back to their norms. It's kind of like Mike Yastrzemski. We're all watching Yastrzemski and we're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, if they were in the dumps, a team would look at Yastrzemski and go, God, the kind of year he's having. But we know he's a roller coaster ride and he's going to go down. He just finished like a 3-for-44 streak or something like that. And he got the game winner last night. That's awesome. But it doesn't mean that I don't think he's a fourth outfielder, because I do. A really good one. Maybe the best fourth outfielder in baseball, but he's a fourth outfielder to me. So anyway, that's the Giants side of things for episode 162. Giants win in the ninth, another one-run win. Can Adames get things going? I think it is absolutely huge with him that maybe this leads to confidence. And then that clip I played for you, you can just tell he's exasperated. Chapman is down. The silver lining is a little bit of a runway for Casey Schmidt. Can he take advantage? A trade, I just gave you a couple of names. If there's another name that you like, let me know. I'd love it. Yeah, there's no doubt the Dodgers are in free fall, but they're going to acquire pitching. They're going to acquire starting pitching, and they're going to try to make a run, because with this offense, if they get some decent starting pitching, they're great. It's just like the Giants. They've got the pitching. They got to get the hitting. Let's get to the 49ers side of things. If anybody's got anything left on the Giants, just let me know. I'm looking over the board right now. Oh, let me hit some supers since we have a break here before we get into some Niners. We'll do a little bit of palate cleansing here. You know what, Fuji, and you've asked a million times, so I'm going to give it to you. Brought on the pint. I got to text Krug. In fact, you know what? Let me just do this now, because you know what? It's the Dodgers. So let me just text him right now and make sure. Because maybe I'll get a notice back here real quick. Okay. Let's see what we can get. But yeah, and then Girl Cam is up to me. But it's the Dodgers and the Giants this weekend. Could you imagine? I mean, right now they're tied at 28 losses. Like I said, you can't give back losses. You can get more wins. So I just look at losses. Can you imagine if we're doing bottom of the pint on Friday? And if you're new around here, we do a Friday show Larry Kruger and I from the Krug Show, where you should subscribe as well. But he's got a, like a gazillion subscribers. Yeah, Friday night, we do Giants live and we drink beers, hang out. And I haven't grilled for a while, so I need to do that. And we have a great time. So come on over for Giants Dodgers. That's going to be a good one. Nathan hits us up with a super sticker. You are the man, and donates $4 to George's fund for the Uber yesterday. Thank you, Nathan. And it's great to have you back. Remember, if you want your stuff on the screen, guaranteed, it's supers or stickers and anything like that. So definitely appreciate it. And again, let's just put Mark back up here because Mark is back, and I apologize. We can see your post, man. There you go, right there. Please tell me you can see my post. Yeah, we can see it. You're back, dude. You're absolutely back. Larry said it's up to you. Larry said it's up to you each time. He said yesterday he's down. Yeah, we got to do one for Dodgers and Giants, especially given the fact that they might be tied. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. All right, let's get to some 49ers stuff. All right. I told you this at the beginning. This is what I'm about ready to play for you is the only thing that matters. I know that there's all these 49ers sites and aggregators and YouTube channels and people who follow the team and people who claim that they are the voice of the team, blah, 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 all this stuff, whatever. I'm not into any of that. Because a lot of people make their living or make a good chunk of change just off the 49ers. And I get it. So they've got to have 49ers news every single day, even when there isn't really any news to bring up. And since this is the last time that they're able to get close to the players or coaches, they blow everything out of proportion, and everything's got to be the biggest thing ever. So the things yesterday from training camp that were talked about was Jake Moody's kicking, which we'll get to in a second. I can't believe that we have kicking stats for OTAs. Shoot me. Don't. But you get my idea. The other part was Trent Williams going to retire anytime soon? What's going on with Brandon Ayuk? All that kind of stuff. The only thing that matters, okay? The only thing that matters for any training camp, spring training, OTAs, NBA training camp, really, because all this other stuff is fluff, right? Because you got to make a living off the 49ers. I get it, people. But the only thing that matters in the real world for the 49ers right now is injuries. Who's going to be available? Why was last season ruined? Well, it was holdouts and hold-ins, but it didn't help that Christian McCaffrey couldn't play and Brandon Ayuk couldn't play and Fred Warner was on a cracked ankle and all, you know, and Tre'Davious Ward had an off-the-field issue with his daughter passing away, unfortunately, which affected his season. Like, it's all these things, either on or off the field, that are affecting it. If the 49ers were of clear mind and didn't have all the stuff that they went through last year, which all these other teams are going through with Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Washington and all these different teams have certain players holding out, holding in, doing all those kind of things. It's kumbaya right now. But the biggest thing and the only thing that matters in the real world are injuries. When are guys going to be back? When are guys going to play? Who's hurt? Who's available? Who's going to be ready for training camp? Who's going to be ready for the season? So Matt Barros did a nice job yesterday in kind of going over like, okay, these are the injuries. Is that accurate? And here's Kyle talking about the injuries. And then I let him expand a little bit out onto Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey and how they're looking in these OTAs. And again, these are mandatory OTAs. This is the last time we will see the 49ers in total before training camp. And this is what matters.
Is it Mustafa, Ayuk, Rourke, and Curtis Robinson as the ones who are unlikely to begin? Anyone else on that list?
Sounds close. I definitely didn't ask about the first day of training camp today. So I'm not sure, but that's a pretty good guess. Those all sound accurate.
That was a long way of me asking if any of the absentees for these camps might spill into late July.
Some could. Those like the ones you mentioned. Don't know all the others, but we'll do that evaluation first day we get back from training camp. I think most of these guys are good. Just to help you guys with that, let me see my injuries. All right. Jair Brown had ankle cleanup surgery. We're expecting back by training camp. Ricky Purcell had a hamstring, nothing serious. He's really pretty good now. We're just being safe, so he'll be good by training camp. Alfred Collins, his calf, that happened before the draft. Pretty good now, being smart with him. He should be good by training camp. Andre Dillard had his ankle scoped. He'll be good by training camp. Juwan Jennings, calf, nothing serious, training camp. George Odom, his knee, just still rehabbing from the season. He should be good from training camp. Yetur, just some old knee wear and tear. We're just being smart with him. He'll be fine by training camp. Trent Taylor had his back. He went on IR, so he won't. Michael Williams, just a tight hamstring. We're just being smart. could go this week, but we'll just hold him for training camp. Ayuk, Mustafa, Curtis, still dealing with their ACLs. Sure. Only 1 minute left. No.
Brandon Ayuk was out there for the first time, at least that I saw him so far since you guys have been back. Just interested to know, like, what have conversations been like between you and Brandon? How's he feeling after coming back from the ACL surgery as he is making his way back?
He's making his way back. He's still in the middle of it, so he's working through that. You know, he's been around. He's been rehabbing for the most part, but he's been out to some practices, and it was good to have him out today.
Brent Williams looked in the limited time he's been out here, but and just how, I guess, vital is it to manage his workload so he can make it through a season healthy?
I think it's vital, just the same as it always is. You know, when you get injuries, but with guys with age and the wear and tear and stuff, we just try to keep their legs fresher and stuff. And it's been good to get him here in 2 weeks of individual drills and things like that. And be shocked if we put him out there tomorrow. I don't expect to see him, except for maybe individual, and he'll be good to go for camp.
Lighter, Kyle? Looks lighter, maybe, Trent.
I haven't checked him out as hard as you have, but what do you mean by that? I think he looks good, though. You know, he looks in shape, and he's been in shape in his drills. He's gone through them all, and he's healthy and right where he needs to be.
Like big picture talks with Trent, like how much longer do you want to play? Do you need to know that just the way you build your roster?
No, I don't think I need to know that, or we need to know that right now. It's stuff I talk to Trent about, not all the time, but every once in a while. But you take everything year by year.
All right, so there's Kyle Shanahan. The reason I played the Trent Williams thing is I'm going to play a cut from Trent Williams in a minute. The big man went up to the podium, and I got to tell you, amongst all the 49ers, and we talked to a lot of them, and George Kittle is awesome, and I've been to training camp for years with KMBR, and we sit there and we talk to all the players, and they're good enough. The guys with the PR staff of the 49ers are great, and they bring in all these guys, and we have a lot of fun with them. Trent Williams is the best. I mean, he's just the best. He's a great guy. Even if you ask him a dumb question or something, he has fun. He has a great personality. It almost feels like he can play forever. He looks like a young guy. He moves. It's unbelievable. So we'll play that for you in a second. But the majority of the reason I played that lengthy cut from you is that's all that matters. When's Brandon Ayuk coming back? Is everybody healthy? How's Christian McCaffrey look? How's Trent Williams look? What about the offseason surgeries? Mustafa, how's he coming along? J.R. Brown, because those are two safeties, and they're young guys that I have questions about anyway, let alone you throw injuries on top of it. So that's all that matters really in these OTAs. How's everybody coming from offseason surgery? So then after that, because it's not sexy enough, then everybody starts into the questions of, you know, Brock Purdy's an obvious one. I got, you know, maybe he threw an interception yesterday. I don't care. I think camp stats are stupid, and we're going to get into the kicking stats in just a second. But the injuries are the only thing that matters, because what matters is which team is healthiest, really. And, you've got to have the most talent. But, I mean, if you just look at the 49ers' talent, we've discussed this many times. If you just said who were the top 10 players on your team, the 49ers could make a case when healthy that they've probably got the top 10 players in terms of just – okay, your top 10 against my top 10 against your top. Like, if you looked at the Lions and the Eagles and the Rams and the Packers and the teams that are supposed to contend in the NFC, the 49ers have them. And for some reason on a national level, they've forgotten. But as I told you and showed you the other day, Vegas, where the rubber hits the road, money, they've got the 49ers fifth in the NFC in terms of potentially winning the conference. They've got an easy schedule. Lots of things can go right. But you can just see by the attendance how serious these veteran guys are. Trent Williams isn't playing because of money. He can quit at any time. He wants to win. Christian McCaffrey wants to win. You know, Fred Warner, George Kittle, these guys at the point of their career where they're saying, really, the only reason, I mean, they've got to get paid, don't get me wrong, but they want to win. And so all these guys are in here. All these guys are trying to get healthy. All these guys are serious and just, you know, they're treating this differently because just like anything, and this relates to all of us, not just sports, there's certain procedures and steps to go so that you can be successful. And the 49ers in this offseason are taking all of the steps. All the guys are there. There's no holdouts. There's no hold-ins. There's no contract squabbles. Give the 49ers credit in that they looked at last season. And how couldn't you, really? Because if I can figure it out, they can figure it out. They're a hell of a lot smarter than me. You can't have this again. You can't have Ayuk holding out, Ayuk holding in, Williams holding out, any of those kind of things. You just can't have any of that. So they're going through the procedures of a team that's going to have a successful season. The only thing that can derail that – now, look, there's a lot of questions on defense, don't get me wrong. But the number one thing that can derail that is injuries. So they're not as sexy to talk about. That's the number one thing that we learned yesterday, that things look good as far as injuries are concerned. Now, this is not on Nick Wagner, who I think is one of the – we have so many good beat writers and people who cover the 49ers that do a great job. But this is just throwing the meat to the hungry wolves, which is Jake Moody's situation. So he had some observations from camp, and he says he showed off his new kicking stance when largely on target, hitting from 33 twice, 40, 47, 52, 55, blah, 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 blah. He may have one official signal that was good, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we're doing camp stats when it comes to a kicker. And look, he said it exactly right. My attempt is translation, need to see it when it counts. Jake Moody's issue is not physical. I saw Jake Moody in person hit a 52 and a 55 in the Super Bowl. I've seen Jake Moody in practice. We're talking about practice. I've seen him a million times hit long practice. So what? No one's rushing you. The game isn't on the line. You're not down two with 3 seconds left. You're not down three with 5 seconds left. You're not in overtime. I don't care. You can put any kind of situation. You know, the defense runs, the offense runs, you know, free desserts. I don't care what you do in training camp or in OTAs to put some kind of pressure on Jake Moody. It's not a game. So all offseason, okay, so he worked about his stance. He really didn't even need to do that. It really wasn't a physical issue. But okay, he got a new kicking coach in. That's not a dumb thing. That's a smart thing. Changes his stance a little bit, whatever. When he goes, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if it's preseason, regular season. When he trots out there in the preseason for a 47-yarder, and if remember, he was doing the doinks for a while, and he kicks it, and it's hooking, and all of a sudden, right off the upright, all of it's gone. New stance, working with a sports psychologist, boo! The stadium will be half full because it'll be a preseason game. They'll boo him, and he'll be back at square one. Now, I'm sure the sports psychologist said, get to your happy place, happy. And, you know, Happy Gilmore, and he's got, you know, someone riding around on a horse with pitchers of beer and money, and I don't know what his happy place is. But that sports psychologist probably said, don't worry about it, go to your happy place. That's the problem. It's not a kicking stance. It's not how many he makes in practice. It's not how long the practice kicks are. I've watched Jake Moody 20 times in practice. He makes field goals just fine. He makes extra points just fine. He kicks off just fine. It's a matter of in the game what he does. And that's where we are. So practice kicks are stupid. And to kind of back up what I'm saying here, Kyle Shanahan, remember in the last press conference of the year, everyone's like, oh no, Kyle does care about special teams. Here's Kyle when asked about the new kicking stance or whatever on Jake Moody.
Field goal's been going between the two uprights. I've liked it so far. Been good.
That's it. The whole question, it was like this long question about what do you think of his kicking stance and blah, 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 blah. And then he gives like a four-word thing. The ball's been going through the upright. I like it. Like, that's as simple as he is. Like, it's a bottom-line business. And he's not convinced. And I've told you this. That's why he liked Robbie Gould. From the 35 in, Robbie Gould's making the kick. And so then when he's doing all of his numbers and charts and everything, and he's got all that stuff on the sidelines, and for kicking, there's a little line that just says 35-yard line, and he can expect it to go in. That's what he wants. That's what we all want in life, right? We want predictability. We don't want probability. We want predictability. I want to be able to know that you're going to make that kick. And in today's NFL, really anything inside 55, you should be making. 50 yarders aren't that big of a deal anymore. 50, oh, he's kicking from 52. Unless somebody screws something up, you should make from 52 or 53 or 55. I don't expect you to make everyone from 57 or 58, but Jake Moody was missing 42s and 38s and 39s. And it's like, dude, no, we can't have that. And whether it's the excuse of the ankle or the injury or whatever the case may be, it's mental. It's mental. It's not a physical issue. So change all the, you know, ways that you're kicking the ball all you want. And everybody do the camp stats because they're going to do them in training camp too. And I'm going to want to vomit. And then they're going to add Brock Purdy camp stats. Woohoo! And those are dumb too, but people click on them. So they're going to keep doing it. But I've never seen OTA kicking stats, but apparently that's where we are. And not even Kyle cares.
The field goal's been going between the two uprights. I've liked it so far.
That's all he's got to say. He's like, what the hell am I going to say about kicking? I don't care. I'm watching the offense. Robert Saleh is watching the defense, and nobody's really watching the kicker. They just tell me the ball's going through the uprights. Kyle's got the right opinion on that, the right, absolute right approach on that. I'm not over there watching Jake Moody kick OTA field goals. Are you insane? God. He doesn't want to worry about it. That's what he wants to say to you is, I want someone like Robbie Gould, who I know, maybe he's not going to hit a 57, but he's going to hit a 53 and in. I know that. I want to be able to know that about Jake Moody. And if he's going to keep doing this other stuff, no. No, no, no. Here's Trent Williams, one more from 49ers camp yesterday. Here's Trent Williams when asked about retirement.
That in this offseason.
Think about how long I wanted to play. I didn't give it a lot of thought, honestly. I just feel like, you know, I do myself and my teammates a disservice if I'm looking towards the end and, you know, I'm paid. People count on me to be here now and to, you know, we got goals and aspirations as a team. I just don't think putting brain power towards that helps us get to where we want to go. So, you know, when it happens, it happens. I feel like I know. I think one day coming in, I should know when it's getting that time, and then I do the responsible thing and let them know early enough. So,
by the way, before I show my lovely face again, how does Trent get the hat like that? And it just looks cool on him. Like, I don't know how that is, but it looks really cool on Trent Williams, and it would look really stupid on me. And then the other thing is, that's the first time I think I've ever seen Trent Williams wear a sweatshirt to the podium that did not have the sleeves cut off. I would cut off every pair. I would have someone cut off every pair or sweatshirt. It was probably cold. It was cold yesterday, actually. So maybe that was the reason why. But Trent Williams doesn't seem to be having any fall off as long as the ankle's okay. And to be honest, as much as we talk about Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy incessantly, Brock Purdy and again and again and again, that's the most important guy in the offense that you just saw. I mean, if they don't have Trent Williams, I'm not a Jalen Moore guy, but he's gone. I mean, who's going to play for Trent Williams next year? They're going to move Colt McKivitz over to left tackle and some Yahoo over to right tackle? Like, you don't have Trent Williams. You got a question at left guard. I don't like the center much. Right guard's really good. McKivitz is better than you think. But from the left side over, Brendel, probably Botch is going to be the left guard, and Trent Williams. Like, their most important player is Trent Williams, unless you would like to get Brock Purdy killed, of course. But that's the most important guy. And so the fact that he is feeling good, not thinking retirement, and the ankle feels good is an underrated aspect because it's not sexy enough. I mean, he's an offensive lineman, so let's not talk about him because we're not getting clicks off that. I get it. But I'm simply saying that that guy that we just showed, the great Trent Williams, that guy,
think about that.
That's the most important guy in the offense, period. And I don't know how close it is because if Brock Purdy is sideways like this, he can't throw. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of insight there. He can't throw from his derriere. So there you go. All right. So there is the story on what's going on with the 49ers. We are keeping OTA kicking stats. All right. To Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you care about this. I watched the entire press conference yesterday. I'm embarrassed to say. I just wanted to see what Aaron Rodgers would look like as a Steeler. And they asked him all these hard-hitting questions and all this kind of stuff. And why'd you come back? And do you really want to be a Steeler? And he was saying nice things. And Mike Tomlin, and I can't wait to work with DK. And this is this is one of the best organizations, you know, a marquee organization like the Packers, who he played for 18 years. Didn't mention the Jets. Anyway, here's Aaron Rodgers. The biggest thing that came out of yesterday's press conference with him is this.
The wedding ring.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long ago?
It's been a couple months.
So he says at the beginning, I don't know how somebody found out that he got married. I guess she saw a wedding ring. Young lady asked the question, saw a wedding ring. And so a lot of the press conference, he was like, I just had some personal things to get in order because they're, why didn't you show up earlier? I want to get some personal things in order, this and that and everything. And then he has a wedding ring on, and then the woman notices the wedding ring, and then they ask him about getting married. And I guess the funny part is, and again, I'm going to delve into some, you know, TMZ and stuff, but like Danica Patrick and a number of women that have dated him have said that like they left mental scars. There was an actress, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, I think it was the last woman that dated him, who said that like he was mentally abusive and all this kind of stuff. So I didn't know that he was in some relationship, whatever. And now the guy got married. So hopefully that, you know, that'll mean something. But like I lived in Pittsburgh. My son was born there. Then we left town very quickly. I'm not saying I'm an expert on Pittsburgh, but I know Pittsburgh a little bit. And that's just his act. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be one of the things that even though he's not in New York anymore, that ESPN absolutely obsesses over the entire season of how it's going to work. It's a blue collar town. It's a six pack and watch our Steelers kind of a town. They don't like when you pass the buck, which Aaron Rodgers will do. They don't like a whole lot of drama. They just love their blue collar Steelers. Run the ball, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They, you know, the sexiness of the quarterback. Like Russell Wilson last year, I don't know if you know this, like had his wife and kids. They were like on the field in Latrobe during training camp, Latrobe, Pennsylvania, where they have training camp. And they were like sitting on the field. Like that's not what they are. You know, it's not like the Jets. It's not, you know, they're not this sexy type of a franchise. Like I said, they're very much like Pittsburgh, you know, lunch pail kind of a town. And I don't know if he can fit into that lunch pail kind of a town. He said a lot of these quarterbacks were from Pittsburgh. They're from Western PA, like Joe Montana and Joe Namath and Jim Kelly and all those great quarterbacks. And they're blue collar kind of guys. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers will fit. We'll see. Because really what sports fans care about at the end of the day is winning. And so if the Steelers win, they'll give him a break. If they don't, he's not going to like it there. And then he's going to lash out and it could get really, really, really ugly. So we'll see. So that's the latest on Aaron Rodgers. Let me, before I get to the NBA Finals, and I do have a caboose, even though I don't have it up there. Oh, I want to play. Let me play this. This is pretty funny. So Myles Garrett could say whatever he wants, right? I mean, big dude. So he's asked about Aaron Rodgers being in the division. This was at Browns OTAs. Here's Myles Garrett on Aaron Rodgers being a Steeler.
Good opportunity to put him in the graveyard.
An opportunity to put him in the graveyard. And then he just kind of has a smile like, no, I'm not kidding. Do you think I'm kidding? Because I'm not kidding. Anyway, there you go. That is Myles Garrett. And he's not kidding if you thought he was kidding, because he's not. Yeah, I don't know who he married, man. It doesn't say who he married. I don't know. I guess we'll have to do some stuff on that. But I just remember like some women. It wasn't Danica Patrick. She was an actress. And I think that was, they were hanging out with, they were out in Oregon somewhere, and she was with him and some famous actor. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But anyway, and she was like, he was very mentally abusive. Like, this is not this guy, man. He's wacko. So anyway, there you go. Yep, that's what a lot of friends of mine think as well, that work in Pittsburgh in the media. Who are just like, this ain't going to be good. He just isn't really a fit for Pittsburgh. But again, if we're all like this as fans, if you win, we'll look the other way on a lot of stuff. That's a great call right there, actually. Yeah, he might have done that, Joe Schmo. He might have. Aaron, do you take Aaron? Yes, I do. Aaron, yes, I do. No, it's you're right. Where's the one? Yeah, that's her name. Yeah, Shailene something or other. That's what it is. I think that's the last one that he dated. But anyway, yeah, it's Olivia Munn. He did date. I think she said that he was mentally abusive as well, but it was, yeah, Shailene, whatever her last name is. So anyway, 50 Shades girl is Dakota Johnson. Isn't that right? Did he didn't marry Dakota Johnson, did he? No, can't be that. Anyway, there you go. All right. NBA finals resume tonight. I hardly remember ye. I made the prediction. They got to tighten this thing up, man. Go, 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 go. I made the prediction that I don't think Oklahoma City is going to lose another game in this series. They could become a dynasty. We talked yesterday. It looks like Kevin Durant may be going to the Spurs. Top of the West could be Oklahoma City and the Spurs for quite a while if the Spurs make the right kind of trade. If they keep Castle, they keep the majority of their guys around De'Aaron Fox, plus they're not trading Victor anywhere, so Victor there and Durant. You might as well just put San Antonio and Oklahoma City in the conference finals. I mean, it's that two-year window that the Warriors have, not happening. So anyway, we'll see if Oklahoma City will live up to what I've said. They probably won't, because I did say that they were going to do that. So anyway, that's what I think about the NBA Finals. Give me your thoughts. I don't really care about – yeah, George is a Pittsburgh kid. Isn't that crazy? So he was born on January 3rd, and then we left to Detroit like a month later. And yeah, I was working for ESPN in Pittsburgh, and needless to say, they were none too happy. They were like, we just paid for your baby. What are you doing? Yeah, that's her name right there. Shailene Woodley. I don't doubt for a second that Roger was someone. Yeah, that's what she said. It was like not fun being in that relationship, apparently. And you can just kind of tell. I mean, he's just, that's the kind of guy he is. So anyway, there you go. All right, let's do a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Puzzle. It's a quick one. It's a strange. I just saw this. Like I was, you know, you're just perusing and you see stuff. So I was just kind of perusing things and I saw this. So it's not anything that's going to shatter, but it is kind of funny, I guess, to me. And so let me play the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol for you and give you a little bit of no. There it is. I really need to just move this thing up. I've got it like near the bottom and I'm always having to search for it.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. Here's John.
All right, again, this was just random perusing as I was looking for sports news. And if you look through, if you look at a video or something, then another video pops up because they try to keep you there forever. And sometimes it works and you're going, I've been looking at videos for like 8 minutes. What am I doing? I'm busy. I don't have time to do this. So then I just see this and it looks like this bear is just coming out of hibernation. So, and it looks like it's kind of hung over too. So could you imagine, like, you know, how sometimes you sleep too much, like maybe like George right now today, because he had like a, you know, 18 hour, 20 hour excursion across the country, finally gets to Cape Cod. I hope he's up because it's like 1:30 on the East Coast. And I think he has like a team get together thing to meet the team kind of a thing today. But anyway, I digress. And so, yeah, you know, just you're really tired. So could you imagine like you've got one of those things where maybe you sleep 10 hours. You're like, oh, my God, you're even more tired than you thought you'd be. But imagine a bear hibernation. So this looks like I was perusing, like I said yesterday, and this video popped up. It looks like this bear's just coming out of hibernation or it's very hungover. So I'm sorry. I don't know why that struck me as funny. And you may think that I'm just stupid for playing this, but it does. Doesn't it look like that dude just got out of hibernation is like, oh my God. Like, you know, like the winter, cause winter's over now. Right. So it's like, all right, let's go. Look at him. He's like, oh my God. Or he just went on a bender. He's like, oh my God, what did I do last night? Oh my God. What did I say? Did I do that? Oh, look at like furs flying off him like that. Oh geez. So I don't know. I mean, it just looks to me like he just climbed out of the hole after hibernation. But can't we all relate? Like, either you're really hungover and you're just like, oh, that's what he looks like. Or, like, he just got, like, that 10-hour sleep and he's like, oh, my God, I can't wake up. Mine would be more of a hangover, like, Saturdays after I do the Bottom of the Pint show. But that looks like – I don't know that I've ever seen, like, a bear straight out of hibernation. I mean, that's what it looked like. Like, his hair is everywhere. It's kind of like my hair, just bad everywhere all over the place. And he just gets up and he's like, damn. Like, can you imagine that after, you know, 3 months or something, you do this hibernation, you come out of this cave, light for the first time, like, oh. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny and I would share with you. Maybe it got nowhere, but I thought that was hilarious. I've never seen a bear straight out of hibernation like that. So anyway, oh man, there you go. You've seen that one before. I don't know if it was new. I have no idea. But exactly right. The bear needs a beer and he needs a haircut. Like, he's just like, damn, dude, what the hell? Like, you can just tell he's just like, he is just like, you know, how you wake up sometimes, you're just combobulated. Like my wife, she'll talk right out of the gate. Like, she's just like, you know, good morning. And you're like, I need 2 minutes, you know? Anyway, the bear is like, give me a minute. You know, like when you walk into work sometimes and somebody's right in your face, it's like, look, man, I need the 5 minute buffer zone. I need to go get a cup of coffee, maybe a bottle of water. Need to sit down, need to check my email, then we can talk. But right now, like right when I walk in the door, I got my bag on my shoulder, like back off. That's kind of that bear right there. It's like, back off. All right. Give me a minute. I need a second here. Let me get my bearings about me. Okay. Anyway, let me go. That's a good call right there. Had to do that in college a couple of times. Anyway, yeah, where was the female bear there? I think he was just on his own, man. I think he was on his own, like, damn, I'm coming out of hibernation. Give me a second, all right? Just give me a second, all right? Just hang on. All right, there you go. All right, that should do it for episode 162. Any questions, comments, thoughts? I think we got to all the supers today. Thanks to Fuji for a super. Friday night, I expect to be doing a bottom of the pint, Dodgers, Giants, and they're so close. I showed you the standings there. We got to do a bottom of the pint. Look at that thing, man. Three teams at 28. Absolutely. And thanks to Nathan for the super sticker contributing to the show, which actually contributes to the Uber that George had to take from wherever he was to the Cape yesterday so he could actually do his summer internship. So thank you very much for all of that. I hope everybody has a super Wednesday. Remember, I always tell you this before we leave. We start the show with this, but make sure you hit up my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, right there. My wife doing the stem cell. I'm doing the low T, but they do all sorts of other procedures. Men, women, make you look better, feel better, all sorts of stuff. So click on that procedure, or excuse me, click on that QR code, or all you simply have to do is go to Riopelle. So Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, look it up on your favorite search engine, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, fine sponsor of the program. Everybody have a great Wednesday. Let me double check one more time. We did not leave anything on the table. Very cool. Wednesday edition of the show. Remember, Polly Mac and Creative Tony, they do the night show tonight, the night flight. Make sure that you hit us up, not only on John Lund Unleashed, please, before you get out of here, hit us with a like. Make sure you subscribe. Yeah, we've been getting a lot of subscribers lately. We've been we're hitting a few things, which is nice. Like I said, we got a team behind the scenes hitting things. So they're doing the things that I don't know how to do, but I just know how to yip-yap. So they're doing a great job. So make sure that you hit like, subscribe. Make sure that you put those alerts on as well. Plus, make sure you do the same thing with the Bay Area Sports Collective. Thanks for watching on YouTube today. Thanks for watching on X at John Lund Radio. Thanks for watching on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, every way that you did. Thank you so much for doing so. Have a great Wednesday edition. And if news breaks, we'll see you later today. If not, we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday edition at 9.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!